When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for the shoppers buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going... So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/audioboom, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/audioboom to upgrade your selling today. Shopify.com/audioboom.
While everyone's talking about AI replacing people, smart companies know the real opportunity is using AI to make their people better. Lattice is the HR platform where people and AI succeed together, helping every employee grow, every manager lead, and every company achieve greater success. Let's build a people-powered future. No regrets. Visit lattice.com/no regrets. That's lattice.com/no regrets.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome to hour number three, live right here on the early line on Sports Grid on this Tuesday. He is Donnie Wrightside. I am Ben Stevens. One more hour to go on this Tuesday to get you set for a full Tuesday Major League Baseball card, which we will do here in this third and final hour. I can already hear the algorithm starting to pump out the numbers and the RBI props that you need to know. Our guy Craig Mish will join us next for a newly revamped daily basis. Four marquee matchups on the Tuesday MLB card, including Skeens Day number six in the history of Major League Baseball. DRS, five RBI props, or at least looks as of this moment, for the LA Angels tonight. If you had to guess, by the time we fully get to the evening slate, around 6:30, 6:40 p.m. Eastern time, how many RBI props on the card?
Yeah, let's see. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, plus 5, 16. So 16 maybe swings out of tonight. And again, maybe the best game overall, which has seven total looks, Arizona and L.A. So get ready for that one.
Oh, Arizona and L.A., the Angels or the Angels of Anaheim or the Dodgers?
The Angels. Like, is Arizona playing the Angels tonight? Is that correct, I believe?
Yeah, I just want to make sure. Because, you know, we don't really like to refer on this show as the Angels as Los Angeles, because they're really
that's
in
Los Angeles' team. No, but that's L.A.'s team, though. We all know this.
That's the team I grew
Angels
up going
to. Angels run L.A.
Right?
Yeah, exactly. They run L.A.
Exactly. Queens is the heart of Manhattan. We know the bits. All right, anyway, as we continue here into hour three, some basketball conversation as well. We have an off day once more from the NBA Finals with Game 3 on the horizon tomorrow, a Wednesday in Dallas. And, of course, the big decision made yesterday by Dan Hurley. But was it the right call? That's what we wanted to hear from you. We do that right now in Fade the Public. I mean, there's landslides, and then there's the Fade the Public poll. Did Dan Hurley make the right decision staying at UConn? At Sports Grid on Twitter, more than 90% of the public in a poll as of this moment that features 218 votes. It's a pretty big turnout for us. 90.4% saying yes, absolutely, Dan Hurley made the right call. DRS, I voted yes. I would assume you voted yes as well.
Yeah, the only surprise is it's not 100% of those votes voting yes at this point, because he absolutely did. If you're not going to leave a top-shelf program where you're a legend going for number three in a row with a very good basketball team for an underwhelming paycheck that you were offered, of course you're going to stay. But also, take a look at the poll. Hashtag everything. What is that? What is hashtag everything?
That would appear to be...
What is this?
That would appear, at least in my knowledge, to be a UConn hashtag. Let's search it. Hashtag everything. Yeah. When UConn men's basketball their graphic on April 8th, back-to-back, it was hashtag everything. But that might be the only UConn tweet that had that.
Yeah, exactly. I think I'm just going to put that on. Every time I tweet, I'm just going to hashtag everything on there. And be like, you know what? That's fantastic. So it's on one tweet, because usually searching. You hit the hashtag and you get the little husky head. Like, okay, that's one of the things that they use. But hashtag everything, tremendous stuff. Everything NCAA men's hashtag leg show, me and you. The everything just sticks out right there for me at this point. Like, what did that add to it here? That gets us a little bit more reach?
Maybe, yeah. So UConn men's basketball tweeted that on April 8th when they won their second consecutive national championship. SportsGrid has used the hashtag everything hashtag for a few Dan Hurley updates in the past 24 hours, including this Fade the Public poll. And that really seems to be the duration of it as it plays for UConn basketball. However, Connecticut Insider, in an article that I'm looking up right now that was sent to us on behalf of our producer, Joe Friezo. Well, now I can't even read the whole article because I need to put in my email address to make sure I have access here to CT Insider. But I did see the timestamp of the article back on October 20th, 2023. So before the start of this previous college basketball season, everything was a motto that Dan Hurley used to encompass the hunt for a second straight national championship for UConn.
Yeah, I don't buy any of this right now. Take that everything out of there. We'll start with something better than that, because that's my focus here on this poll, is not how many people actually voted, the hashtag everything. But again, everything and everyone should be voting for Dan Hurley making the right decision by staying at UConn. So I think we can agree on that case there, Ben.
Yeah, and that's really, I guess, what it is, right? Didn't seem like we even needed the reach of the additional hashtag, because it was so resolute that Dan Hurley did make the right call. The best coach in college basketball stays in college basketball. And I thought JY brought up a great point about legacy, because Dan Hurley right now already might have a resume that stacks him up as one of the best head coaches we have seen in college hoops, maybe in its history, but in the last decade, the last two decades, and it seems as though he will only add on. John Wooden, the most national championships we have ever seen with 10. Mike Krzyzewski has 5 of them. It really does seem like Dan Hurley is going to make a run to that pedigree. That Dan Hurley, maybe in today's day and age, will get to that stage. He is already one of 17 head coaches in D1 men's college basketball history to be a multiple-time national champion. That means 2+. He is one of 3 active college basketball head coaches that has won at least 2 national championships. Bill Self, 08 and 2022 with Kansas. Rick Pitino, yes, I still give him the credit because I don't care if the NCAA vacates something we saw with our own eyes at Kentucky in the 90s with Louisville back in 2013 and Dan Hurley having gone back-to-back. And that back-to-back distinction already adds to the prestige that Dan Hurley has at the helm in stores. And with UConn a co-favorite to win a 3rd consecutive national championship entering this year, Dan Hurley deserves that respect. He deserves that recognition. And I would love your thoughts, DRS, because for me, Dan Hurley is the best coach in college basketball entering next season. Do you put him there as well?
Yeah, absolutely. I love him going back to UConn with these circumstances, because it is fun to see something we haven't seen done in a long time, win 3 national championships in a row, which means going 6-0, 6-0, and 6-0 consecutive seasons here in the NCAA tournament. That would be absolutely tremendous to watch it play out. Having said that, It would have been really fun to see him with the Los Angeles Lakers to apply that craft that has been so successful already in his coaching career at the highest level, and also with some of the biggest egos at that level in LeBron James and Anthony Davis, and just dealing with the Lakers media and everything that that entails. I would have loved to watch that play out. But the one thing I do love is when we put out a poll and it's overwhelming. It's not like, hey, let's put up a best answer of that was a terrible decision. Hurley should have just went to the NBA. Nobody thinks that right now. He's going to get plenty of other coaching opportunities. The question just comes back to, what were the Lakers actually thinking? They're going to pry the best head coach from college basketball in the middle of the summer just because you think he wants to go to the NBA? It was a simple decision when it all came down to it. And I'm pretty sure he took his time thinking that, man, we're another 15 minutes away from the Lakers picking up the phone saying, we can't lose you. What is it going to take? But it seems like the Lakers put out a number, felt strong like that was enough to get him there. And certainly it wasn't. And the public will back you up every instance. This poll would have been much different. If this said, did Dan Hurley make the right decision to stay at UConn? 6 years, $120 million, and he chose to go to UConn? Yeah. This would probably be more in the favor of absolutely not. Who's going to turn down all that money? But when the money's going to be comparable, and I'd be surprised if now UConn gives him a new deal that was somewhat close to being in L.A., what a perfect storm for Hurley to stay. And then in 2 years, if he wins another championship, somebody will come correct in the NBA and say, you know what? What's it going to take to get you here? What's it going to take to keep you happy?
He is going to get that contract extension or a pay raise from UConn to make him one of the three highest paid head coaches in all of college basketball. We're probably talking $7.5-8 million per year. Not many. Only John Calipari and Bill Self make that kind of money at this current juncture. Dan Hurley has turned down Kentucky and the Lakers to remain at UConn. Know what the legacy is he wants to build. Daily Basis next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
The Daily Basis, live right here on this Tuesday on the Early Line with Sports Grid. I am Ben Stevens. He is Donnie Wrightside, and the man in the middle, of course, our MLB insider and the host of Newswire, starting at 11 a.m. Eastern Time. Craig Mish joins us live right here on this Tuesday. Craig, thank you so much. A full MLB card on this Tuesday after only 7 games yesterday in the bigs. A lot to dive through on this Tuesday.
Yeah, and I think we're getting to the point now in the season where you really are looking at the year and saying to yourself in terms of the odds that we looked at, Ben, before the season, like how many teams are even going to be 500 in Major League Baseball this year? We're getting to the halfway point in the season, and I don't even know that we're going to have a dozen at the end of the year. The big question that at least the industry is talking about right now, is it possible that we could have a team that is 500 or below make the baseball postseason this year? I don't think that's going to happen because, again, September comes, teams you know are out of it, and then they give up. But we're really close to that this year.
Yeah, Craig, at this moment, there's only 4 teams with a winning record in all of the National League. 2 in the NL East, the Phillies and the Braves. The Milwaukee Brewers, the only one in the National League Central. And the Dodgers, the only one in the NL West. But Craig is here to dive through everything you need to know on this Tuesday. And we do that each and every day. So as we look at this Tuesday slate in MLB, it's time now once again for Daily Basis.
Whoa.
Wow. That was huge right there.
No, I liked it.
It's a new day.
That caught me off guard right there. I was like, all right, is that the end?
No, you didn't know? They told me yesterday it's going to be a new graphic. They're going to play, they're going to charge.
You took all the budget up there, Craig, for us. Yeah.
That looked good. So, the Daily Basis, it's a play on words, right? Because we go around on the daily bases of Major League Baseball, but bases, first, second, third, and home, of course, that you need to hit. So, we'll talk about some of the big storylines around this Tuesday card. It's Skeens Day number 6 tonight for the first time under the arch as Paul Skeens gets the start for the Pirates against the St. Louis Cardinals. Pittsburgh booked as a minor minus 134. Road money line favorite. He has been great so far, Craig Mish. That being Paul Skenes, a perfect 3-0 record to start his Major League Baseball career. What can we expect from Skenes today in St. Louis?
Well, I mean, if the last graphic is any indication, the Cardinals, the head of the Cardinals, may get cut off completely. So, I mean, that could be a really bad sign for the Cardinals today. Skenes has been mowing down everyone. I think we talked about this last week on the show as far as his K-props and everything else. He's just basically gone over all of them and has been fantastic. So the question is, when does it end? I don't think it does today against St. Louis. Now, whether or not they win the game still remains to be seen. You know, I'm a little disappointed that the Pirates got off to another good start this year and then have sort of faded a little bit. The Cardinals are right back in the mix. And you can see as the odds are about minus 110 on either side. But as far as Skenes' props are concerned, still do like the over on all of them until he's proven us otherwise.
Yeah, favorite on the road today. Shows a lot of respect. We'll see what he has to offer. But also another great series tonight starting at 6:30, 5 p.m. Eastern. That's going to be the Atlanta Braves and the Baltimore Orioles. Fried has been sensational here, much like a lot of these pitchers for the Atlanta Braves on the season. A minus 136 favorite here at the FanDuel Sportsbook over Baltimore. Now, two things come up here. Baltimore is really good. They're going to battle the Yankees throughout the summer. But the Braves now, Craig, sitting 9 games back of the Philadelphia Phillies. Is there any chance that they can still catch the Phillies? And what's the approach for the Braves for remaining parts of this season?
Yeah, you don't rule anything like that out, Donnie, because again, it's baseball. There's 162 games. And hey, you know, look, the Astros, to me at this point, I'm ready to close the book on them. I just, you know, after last night, I mean, another emotional loss for them. And the Braves, you know, as far as closing the book on them for the season, I wouldn't do it. As far as the division goes, it's going to be very difficult. The thing that's surprising, I think, when I look at the Braves is the fact that their offense has been so poor. I know Acuna's been out. Who cares? A couple of years ago, they did it without Acuna, too. So I would imagine at some point Olsen will get hot. Sean Murphy is back. He will get hot. Michael Harris, etc. But for the time being right now, I think the play for all Braves games are the team total unders. It doesn't matter where they're playing. They're just not scoring runs. So why wouldn't you let the trend be your friend at this point? I think you look at Atlanta's offense until noted otherwise. The other thing, guys, is that you would have to imagine that if Ozuna is going to be the only one that's formidable in that lineup this season, they're going to start walking him. I know it's crazy to think that Marcell Ozuna would be an intentional walk candidate over the course of the year, but that's kind of where the Braves have been at. They're just not scoring enough.
The Braves, one of three teams in Major League Baseball to have an under percentage of 60% of their games or more alongside the Rangers and the Astros. Craig, as we look at the matchup today in Kauffman between the New York Yankees and the Kansas City Royals, I think many people would expect us to say the Yanks are one of the better teams in the American League, but the Royals right there as well. One win away from reaching that 40-win benchmark. What will we see today in KC?
Yeah, I think, you know, at this point, I mean, are you even getting any value on Judge Homers anymore? Like, I guess I got to check this more often every day. Like, I mean, how much plus is it at this point? The good news for the Yankees, of course, is Soto is back in the lineup. But naturally, right now, the Yankees are just not a fadeable team. At some point, they will be, just like in years past. They'll go cold. They won't score runs. But for right now, as you see, the total 9.5. Not the greatest pitching matchup on the hill today for either team. So I do think some runs will be scored today. And, well, you know, three times a week, Judge is homering. So that's plus money pretty much every day.
Come on, B.
We got
B double S. Right on that lot. Right on that wire. Come on, right on that wire.
Come on, it didn't say 1 minute yet. We got to get to that fourth game to hit all of those bases on the daily basis.
Did I do them all?
We go to Phoenix. The Diamondbacks, a home money line favorite at minus 180 against the Angels. Jordan Montgomery gets the start in Arizona for Arizona. Craig, what do we see today in the desert?
Yeah, not a great pitching matchup for the Angels. You know, the starting pitcher today has an ERA, I think, pushing 7. You know, look, Montgomery, I'm expecting Montgomery to get it going. Remember, he missed all of spring training. He may not be a good pitcher until later this month, later on in the season. But it's a minus 180 today. And as Ben knows, we've been fading the Angels, and that's going well all season.
It has been going very, very well. The reigning NL pennant winners, the D-backs, 4 games below 500. Time to start turning it around. What a day it was on the daily basis. Craig, we'll see you on Newswire in a little bit. More TEL next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
One more day off from the 2024 NBA Finals. No game on this Tuesday. The teams have made their trip to Dallas, Texas to get ready for game number three. The Mavericks play host to the Celtics tomorrow night, trying to eke out their first victory of this championship set and maybe make it more competitive. Donnie, as we look at the odds for game number three, again, Dallas is booked as a very slight home favorite, laying a point and a half, minus 126 on the money line. If that line holds, by the time we get to 8:30 p.m. Eastern time tomorrow and Dallas closes as the home favorite, it will be just the fourth time this season the Celtics have been booked as an underdog, the first time in this postseason.
And I agree. I actually agree with that number, because if we are going to get, let's just say, a full-go Dallas Mavericks team where the couple days off did Luka Doncic well and he's not downgraded to questionable on game time, this is a must-win game. We understand that. Now, as you know, a handicapper and been around the game for a long time, just because it's a hyped environment and you have to win does not mean you're going to win that basketball game. But having said that, this is your last stand. You might as well play this as if it was game number four and you were already down 0-3, because you lose this game, it's over. You're not winning the series. If you win the game, you are back in the series and you look forward to game number four. Yep. So I agree, those price points that we saw, what, Ben? 6 and 7 points on the home court here in the TD Garden for the Celtics as them being favorites. Yep. Now they're not the favorite. I do expect the Dallas Mavericks to play much better. Ooh. Luka Doncic has been fine. Everybody else on that roster needs to step up, and you usually get the benefit of your home court from those B players, and I expect that to happen. Also, keep in mind, we haven't really got any updates outside of Kristaps Porzingis after the game going, I'll die out there on the court. Yeah, well, the medical team comes in and takes a look at that calf and sees what it is. It's not really up to you anymore if you can hobble up and down that court. If he doesn't play, and he's been sensational in games one and two, that also makes a difference here. So I agree, Dallas should be a favorite here over the Boston Celtics for game three.
And that leads us into everything. Will this series be competitive? Might we see it get to a fifth or a sixth game? I still believe that both Donnie and I do not believe it is going to be just a four-game sweep. And probably not even a gentleman sweep, but we are trending that way. If we are going to see anything more than four or five, Dallas must win tomorrow night. It's a must-win, can't-lose situation. Yep. For the Mavericks. So that influences the odds to win the NBA championship this season. Boston, as of yesterday, minus 1,000. Boston, as of today, minus 950. The Celtics, then, in terms of winning the NBA Finals MVP, have the two front runners. Now make that the three front runners. And the odds continue to change. You see a 20-cent gap as of this graphic, plus 135. Jason Tatum, the slight favorite in front of Jaylen Brown at plus 155, and Drew Holiday at a 6-to-1 number. The updated odds in the FanDuel Sportsbook. We have co-favorites at this moment for the C's. It's the Jays, Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown at plus 145, with the other Jay, Drew Holiday, not all that far behind at a 5-to-1 number.
Wow.
Donnie, I don't believe, even if we see more games in this series, that you really believe the Mavericks can come back to win the Larry O'Brien Trophy. So if it is Boston as the eventual NBA champion, who wins the NBA Finals MVP award?
And it's funny, like, we're talking about them. Usually it's the market of, oh, can they come back in the series and win it? Talking about the Dallas Mavericks and being extended. But now, this might be the most fun bet here that you can actually have those arguments before game number three takes place. Because you're right, those moving numbers, Tatum and Brown, plus 145 apiece, as you pointed out. Drew Holiday, now down from like a 6-to-1 price to a 5-to-1 price. This is interesting, because it feels like now, we don't think we're getting an extended series based on what we saw for the past two games. But I do think the Mavericks win game number three. Let's say they don't. We're probably headed for a four-game series, which means game number three is pivotal. You have Jason Tatum drop 37 points, 11 rebounds, and 6 assists. He's going to move as the market favorite, because that probably means they won game number three and looking to close out game number four. I don't know how much value it, because do we expect Drew Holiday another good performance? The one thing I do know is Tatum and Brown usually go tit for tat when they go head-to-head with each other. Oh, you got a good game? Now I need to have a good game in the following one. I would be very surprised that Jason Tatum was extremely underwhelming in game number two. I expect him to shoot 25 plus times in game number three. So I would still give him the benefit of the doubt here, because I know the ball is going to be in his hands early. Maybe he doesn't go 1-for-9 to start the game in game number three here.
6 of 22 for Jason Tatum in game
Brutal.
Number 2. 18 points, 12 dimes, only one rebound shy of a triple-double, but it would not have been the most glamorous triple-double. The plus 145 price on Tatum is the idea that Jason Tatum, in one of these next two games, is going to go off. It's not like he out-duels Jaylen Brown in Game 7. Major League Baseball plays next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
A full Major League Baseball card on this Tuesday, and Donnie Wrightside has plenty of plays for you around the bigs. I'm talking 15 games. I'm talking a ton of RBI shots. I'm talking a ton of value for Major League Baseball on Dinger Tuesday on the FanDuel Sportsbook as well. Game number one yesterday in Kansas City between the Royals and the Yankees was a similar story for New York. Carlos Rodon has won his last seven starts in a row, and the Yankees win yet another game, 47, the most in all of Major League Baseball. 4-2 the victory with Juan Soto returning to the lineup. No Aaron Judge on a Monday. Expected, I would believe, to be in the lineup on a Tuesday. He has a home run prop available at plus 230. The Yanks were a road favorite in Kauffman yesterday, a road favorite in Kauffman today against KC.
And rightfully so, they probably should be. If we take a look at Marcus Stroman, it'll be on the mound for the New York Yankees. You take a look at his last 30 days against left-handed batters. It's about average. It's a 175 ISO power number and a 328 weighted on base percentage. If you take a look at the full season, it's much higher, 252 and 385 respectively. So he has gotten better against left-handed batters here. Right-handed batters, he's been filthy this entire season. On the totality of the season, 169 batters he's faced, from the right side, a 118 ISO and a weighted on base percentage of 267. It's almost identical to that over the past 30 days. So you'd want to look in that lineup here for left-handed batters. Now, we love Vinny P, and he's got a 208 ISO power number against right-handed pitching over the past month. However, that weighted on base percentage, only 298. There's not a lot of great left-hitting batters in the lineup today where I don't know if the Royals will be able to take advantage and dominate against Marcus Stroman. Let's flip it over to the other side. Brady Singer's been a decent pitcher this season, but he has struggled with left-handed batters. So now that we love Juan Soto back in the lineup yesterday, got a base hit. Looks like that forearm's not bothering all that much at the plate. He's got unbelievable numbers. 81 at-bats against right-handed pitching over the past 30 days equates to a 388 ISO power number and a 466 weighted on-base percentage. Alex Verdugo is going to bat behind Judge, who is expected to be back in the lineup tonight. He's got a 195 ISO and a 335 weighted on-base percentage. Yeah. I do think the Yankees win this game, and if you take a look at RBI props, I know it's Judge's numbers are insane against right-handers, but we're trying to stick to the script here where Singer has been very good against righties and poor against lefties. We'll take those left-handed batters to do damage. Soto and Verdugo for me and that lineup tonight for the Yanks.
Tonight we go to Camden between Baltimore and Atlanta. A really good matchup this week between the Braves and the O's, where with Max Fried on the bump, the Braves booked as a road favorite in Baltimore. The O's just came off a four-game sweep of Tampa at the Trop this weekend, extended into Monday, so they do have to make the trip back home. But Baltimore's won 14 of its last 18 games, and yet the home underdog today. How come?
Yeah, you know what's interesting about this game? You take a look at Max Fried, who's been absolutely filthy this year. A left-handed pitcher usually struggles a little bit against righties. That's not the case here. In 040, ISO power number to weighted on base percentage of 191 through 222 batters, that's insane. And of course, when you have a left-handed pitcher on the mound, what is that team going to do you're facing? They're going to stack it with right-handed batters, so that really doesn't work in your favor. Only two lefties expected in the lineup tonight, Colton Cowser and Gunnar Henderson. Now, Gunnar Henderson, through 24 at-bats, has awesome numbers against left-handed pitching. And having said that, if there was a spot where Max Fried will be struggling, it's his 399 weighted on base percentage against lefties over the past month here. But also, how about Gunnar Henderson's projection tonight? Not to be the leadoff hitter, Ben, but to be in the four hole tonight, where you'd go righty, 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 then lefty at that point. So something to keep an eye on. If we're looking at the Atlanta Braves, it's one of those lineups that we love to start the season, but it's not one of those lineups that we absolutely love now. And you take a look at Suarez on the mound, 52 batters he's faced over the past month, an 088 ISO and a 243 weighted on base percentage. So if I'm looking at this lineup today, Ozuna looks solid, Olsen looks solid, Kelenic and Murphy, but those numbers don't stack up against Suarez, who has good splits between lefty and righty batters. If I'm being honest tonight, we're probably seeing an under tonight at Camden Yards.
which is the case for Atlanta. They have gone under in 60.7% of their games. The Braves lost the final three of a four-game set against the Washington Nationals. They have lost two series against the Nats in the last 2.5 weeks. I believe it wasn't since 2018 or 2019 that the Nationals had even won a series against their divisional foe in the Braves. They've won two in the last 2 weeks against Atlanta, who I guess shouldn't really be a surprise to see booked as a favorite. They have been favored in 60 of their 63 games this year, but against the O's, again, Baltimore, a home underdog, could be a look today. Now, as we go elsewhere around Major League Baseball, more interleague affairs between a National League East and an American League East team. Philadelphia heads to Boston as they make their return to the States. The Phils minus 176 as a road favorite tonight in Fenway. Total at 8, and Zach Wheeler is on the bump. When that's the case for Philadelphia, often good things happen.
It usually is. And also, you take a look at an extended break for some of these starting pitchers with Aaron Nola and Zach Wheeler, which you keep in mind, they took off Thursday and Friday, played Saturday and Sunday, took off Monday. Neither one of these guys pitched in London, so you're expecting a good outing from Wheeler. But that lineup might be a little bit questionable. Let's take a look about trusting your numbers here when going up against Zach Wheeler, one of the best pitchers in baseball. He dominates against right-handed batters as a right-handed pitcher, but he is average against lefties. And here's the reason why I'm bringing that up. Past 30 days, 68 lefties he's faced, a 169 ISO, which is about average, a weighted on base percentage of 345. Why is that important? You got three absolute studs right now in the lineup batting from the left-hand position against right-handed batters over the past month for the Boston Red Sox. Durant, 355 ISO, 450 weighted on base percentage as a lefty versus a righty. Valdez, 579 ISO, 566 weighted on base percentage as a lefty versus a righty. Rafael Devers, 484 ISO, 481 weighted on base percentage as a lefty versus righties. So if you want to stick to the plan, those three guys probably should be on your card for some RBI action. Yeah. The rest of the lineup leaves a lot to be desired. Flip it over to Cutter Crawford, who is struggling over the past 30 days with both lefty and righty batters after having a very, very good start to the season. So Bryce Harper and Alec Boehm in the middle of that lineup should be on your card, but I don't love this Phillies lineup. Schwarber, Realmuto, Stott, Castellanos, Dahl, and Rojas, not good numbers against right-handed pitching over the past 30 days. So this is an interesting handicap. If you trust your numbers, maybe you're getting a pretty good price here on Boston, but it's hard to go against some of those analytical numbers that really match up in the favor of obviously a great pitcher like Zach Wheeler.
And Cutter Crawford was great for Boston to start this year. First eight starts of the season, a 2-1 record, a 1.75 ERA. But Donnie mentioned how Crawford has struggled in the last 30 days or so. Yeah. In his last five starts, he has given up 20 total earned runs. Tonight we go out to Los Angeles, where last year's World Series champs take on this year's current World Series favorites. The Dodgers, a home favorite against the Rangers tonight, -148, the money line number in favor of LA. If you remember Paul Skene's day last week, James Paxton, who gets the start tonight in Los Angeles, got the start against Skene's, and we were all surprised, really not Donnie, but a lot of us were surprised the Dodgers were a dog, not a dog tonight with Paxton on the bump.
Yeah, he's a terrible analytic pitcher. We're talking about Paxton tonight. We'll get to him in just a second. Temperatures there, cooler, 67 degrees, light wind blowing out the center field, so a typical night that you're going to get in L.A. However, if we take a look at Dane Dunning on the mound, struggles with left-handed batters, that you should automatically ring a bell, because that's Shohei Ohtani, that's Freddie Freeman, even Jason Hayward with some really good numbers as a lefty versus righties. Matter of fact, if we do have that anticipated starting lineup tonight, Betts, Ohtani, Freeman, Will Smith, Hernandez, and Hayward, every one of those guys, above-average ISO power numbers and above-average weighted on base percentages over the past 30 days against right-handed pitching. That should bode well for them. But having said that, again, hard to trust James Paxton. He's a fly ball pitcher that doesn't strike a lot of guys out and walks too many guys, which means runners will be on base. However, that lineup here for the Texas Rangers doesn't look all that fantastic opposite a guy like Seager not being in the lineup. If there's one guy I would choose and say if you wanted maybe an over 1.5 bases, an RBI chance, maybe a chance to score a run, Marcus Semien at the top of that lineup. 32 at-bats over the past month against left-handed pitching, 333 ISO, 525 weighted on base percentage. I still do give a slight lean to the Dodgers here because I like the way their lineup presents. But boy, oh boy, if you're trusting Paxton, that's usually a money burner.
And right now, Texas, by the way, a very large under team alongside Atlanta and Houston, the only three clubs in MLB playing 60% of their games to the under. Texas under 11 of its last 15 games. More MLB breakdowns next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Skeens Day number 6 in the history of Major League Baseball tonight under the arch in St. Louis. You got Craig Mish's thoughts on the game. Yep. Now time for Donnie Wrightside's thoughts and the handicap for tonight in the Lou. Pittsburgh booked as a favorite. I guess that is going to be common occurrence when Paul Skeens makes a start on the bump around a minus 134 price in favor of the Buccos. DRS, we've shared this a couple of times, but I do find the National League Central rather compelling for the rest of this summer. Only one team, that's Milwaukee, has a winning record at the moment. The Brew Crew well above 500, a 7-game lead for the top spot in the division. But the Cardinals and the Pirates, along with the Reds playing much better baseball, and the Cubs, who are actually kind of floundering at the moment, nobody is worse than 3 games below 500, and that's the Buccos in the basement. So there is a group of teams that, if they started to play better, could maybe make a run in the National League.
Yeah, no, they could. And by the way, I think Milwaukee really is built for playoff baseball, to be honest. Like, I like that 1-9. They're a much better hitting lineup than what they showed last year. And also, if you're going to get very good front-end pitching in the rotation, if they make a move to the trade deadline, we're also talking about, as I said, getting Devin Williams back. It's all about, you know, not so much your starter, because you expect them to be at least solid in the postseason. But when you have that lead in the 5th, 6th, 7th, 8th, and 9th innings, do you have guys that can put that game away if you have a one-run lead? They could probably do that. So if we're looking at today, another central battle, Skeens certainly should be the favorites in this game. There's no question about it. Just look at the past 30 days. 36% strikeout rate, which ups to 43% when he goes against lefties, which is incredible. Look at his ISO power number, 122. Weighted on base percentage, 231. The two best batters in the lineup tonight over the past 30 days against right-handed pitching are both lefties here, Gorman and Burleson. They have fantastic numbers, but I just told you, 43% of the batters that are stepping to the plate against Skeens as lefties aren't even making contact, which is incredible at this point. So advantage rate away. Now, do we have a great lineup here for Pittsburgh on a night-to-night basis? No, we don't. And Miles Michaelis, who has had a much better run than the start of the season, which he started out. Let's take a look at the totality of the season, Ben. Almost 300 batters he's faced, a 205 ISO, and a weighted on base percentage of 345. That should get you wrecked on a night-to-night basis. But take a look at the last 30 days. That 205 ISO lowers to 154. That 345 weighted on base percentage lowers to 277. So I'm looking at an under today. But also, if you are thinking that the better team is Pittsburgh, which I think it is, you better be taking them in the first 5 innings. Don't have Skeens go six innings, 101 pitches, and dominate, and then leave it up to some of those guys in the pen. If you're taking Skeens today, take him first 5.
Pittsburgh has won 4 of his 5 starts. In all 4 of those starts, Skeens has recorded at least 7 Ks. There is a Skeens specials on the FanDuel Sportsbook under a specific tab. Do any of these tempt you? 35-1. Paul Skeens to throw a no-no through his first 5 innings, a minimum of 15 outs. Paul Skeens to record 3 strikeous in the first inning. 3+ strikeouts in the first inning. How would he record 4? A swinging strike miss and then another?
There you go. Oh. Yeah, what's that?
All right, well, there you go.
They should 14 have a 4 to 1. Mark. What's the? It's not even enough. Yeah, like, if you give me 4, if you give me 4 strikouts, what even would that be? That would have to be a lottery ticket, wouldn't it? Wonder what those prices
would be. Yeah, 100, 10,000 to 1, something of the sorts. Paul Skeens to go 3 up, 3 down in the first inning. That's the shortest number, plus 130. Any of the Skeens specials catch your eye?
Yeah, 3 up, 3 down. I mean, probably makes the most sense because, you know, getting out of the gate, Ben, you tried to say, hey, maybe Skeens don't got that fastball to start off the game. What's he going, 101 right off the bat, and away you go? So I like that one. I think 3 up, 3 down does make some sense.
Plus 280, by the way, to go over 101 miles per hour for Paul Skeens' first pitch of the day. Plus 114 of the over of 7.5 strikeouts. That's the K prop for Skeens. Now we go back to Milwaukee, a team we just highlighted, the Brew Crew, the only team in the National League Central above 500, 12 games above 500, but a slight home underdog today against the Toronto Blue Jays. 8.5 the total in Milwaukee. What do you like?
Yeah, trying to see who that confirmed pitcher is here. Do we have that up for the looks like Rodriguez, which I don't know if we really have too much of a stat basis on that. But let's just take a look in your bet. You're going up against Yusei Kikuchi, who had a very good start to the Major League Baseball season, which included absolutely dominating left-handed batters. That's still the case here in the past 30 days. But against right-handed batters, the tide has turned from a great start to the beginning of the season. Now, through his last 97 batters, a 213 weighted on base percentage, excuse me, 213 ISO and a 372 weighted on base percentage. Here's the crux of the argument, though. Joey Ortiz, due to bat leadoff, solid chance here tonight. You take a look at Blake Perkins, you know, switch hitter that's probably going to bat in the 7-hole today. Legitimate options. But the rest of that lineup hasn't done all that well with lefties here. And it's hard to handicap if I don't have those numbers on Rodriguez. So maybe just a slight lean because I know what I'm getting out of Kikuchi without a great hitting lineup against left-handed batters. So I'll just lean on that at this point.
Carlos Rodriguez, the 22-year-old from Nicaragua, makes his MLB debut for Milwaukee today. He is the back-to-back minor league pitcher of the year for this Brewers organization, sharing the award a season ago with our guy Robert Gasser, who might be out for the remainder of this year. A central focus today, but an interleague matchup at the Great American Ballpark in Cincinnati between the Reds and the Guardians. Cleveland atop the American League Central. The Reds playing better baseball. Cleveland a road favorite today in Cincy.
Yeah, I was doing a little work on this one. Suter is going to open the game here as the left-handed pitcher for the Cincinnati Reds. So when you line up that lineup for the Guardians, it looks sensational. Like, ooh, let me get after it because that's the matchup. But he's only going to be in for a couple, you know, outs, presumably, and probably at the end of the first inning be lifted. I do believe it's Nick Martinez that's going to be coming behind him as a right-handed pitcher. You say, oh, Nick Martinez, don't hear that name. He's probably not that good. He actually has some very good starts. Last 30 days, 73 batters he's faced, only 153 ISO and a 227 weighted on base percentage. Even though that lineup presents incredibly well, you would love to take Ramirez and Fry's RBI chances. And I'm not saying they can't get one, but I like to just stick to the numbers that I trust. And instead of just saying, I like these guys, they're really good hitters to go up against it, they really don't match up all that well. Now, let's take a look at Cincinnati on the opposite side. Tristan McKenzie, one of the worst analytical guys you will see. And also, some of those other numbers prove it out as well. Last 59 batters he's faced as a right-handed pitcher against right-handed batters. How about this, Ben? A 479 ISO and a weighted on base percentage of 524. So immediately you want to start hunting there for right-handed batters. But there's no real good ones in the lineup. The lefties, Benson, good numbers. Candelario will be a lefty today. TJ Friedel will be a lefty today. It just doesn't line up perfectly here. So I don't really have too much of an effort on this game because they have an opener on one side, a bad analytics pitcher, but I don't know if they could take advantage of it today.
A couple of more Major League Baseball plays and a best bet up next, live right here on the Early Line.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
From May 20th on, the Reds have been playing good baseball. They have won 12 of their last 16. From May 21st on, it has been a very different story for the Chicago Cubs. Chicago on May 21st with a victory over the Braves at Wrigley, 27-22. Now the record, 32-34. That means the Cubbies have dropped 12 of their last 17, trying to right the ship starting today in Tampa at the Trop against the Rays. But Tampa booked as a pretty hefty home favorite, minus 142. The Rays trying to respond after being swept in a four-game set by Baltimore over the weekend that ended yesterday.
Yeah, Zach Eflin was good last year. A little bit, you know, underwhelming this year to say the least, but he does have decent splits here. 261 batters he's faced on the season, 169 ISO and a weighted on base percentage of 310. What's the issue that always gets you in trouble in Major League Baseball? You got to be a strikeout guy. He doesn't strike anybody out. How about a K percentage over the past 30 days of only 13%? Now, he doesn't walk anybody, so that means that ball gets put in play. A couple decent hitters in the lineup tonight that do match up against Zach Eflin here for the Cubs. That is Seiya Suzuki, a 251 ISO power number, and Ian Happ, by the way, 60 at bats against right-handed pitching over the past month. How about this? A 396 ISO coupled with a 386 weighted on base percentage. If we flip it over to the other side, Jameson Taillon will be on the mound today for the Cubs. He's been struggling with left-handed batters on the season to the tune of a 189 ISO and a 420 weighted on base percentage over the past 58 batters in the last 30 days. However, you take a look at this Tampa Bay Rays lineup. If we go for the first nine guys, or let's just say nine batters that we anticipate tonight, only one guy has a plus ISO power number, and only two guys have plus weighted on base percentages. If we take a look at Diaz, Lowe, Rosarena, Paredes, Lowe, Siri, Walls, Palacios, and Wortfeldt, only one guy, and that's Josh Lowe at a 225 ISO. This does not line up for a lot of runs tonight down the trop. I'm going to go under with that. Not in love with either one of these teams, but these lineups certainly don't impress me all that much, man.
Now we go to what might be Donnie Wrightside's favorite game of this full Tuesday MLB card. Phoenix between the Diamondbacks and the Angels. Arizona, a hefty home favorite. Jordan Montgomery gets the start against the Halos team that is in the cellar of the American League West. But we don't love this game because it's a lopsided matchup. We love this game because of the RBI props, DRS. Which ones do you like the most?
If we're taking a look at the Los Angeles Angels, very rare that you're going to see a team that's this underwhelming of a, you know, underdog coming in and say, well, what makes sense and why should you go with the Angels? Because it does come down to pitcher versus pitcher matchup. You don't have a great one on the mound for the Angels, but take a look at Jordan Montgomery. Last 30 days, 115 batters he's faced, Ben, a 214 ISO and a 425 weighted on base percentage. If you just take a look at him being a left-handed pitcher, which you're going to face a lot of righties tonight, a 222 ISO and a 429 weighted on base percentage over the past 30 days. If we extend that to full season, Ben, 173 batters he's faced, a 228 ISO and a weighted on base percentage of 404. Look at this lineup against lefties over the past month here. Rengifo, 455 weighted on base percentage, Ward, 369, Pilar, 628, Ohapi, 501, Adele, 373, and Zach Neto, 448. This lineup sets up tremendous against Jordan Montgomery tonight. So therefore, like I said, you got a legitimate five guys to take a look at. That's the reason why. High numbers for these batters going against a pitcher that's struggling against said batters from the right-hand side. And by the way, only one lefty anticipated in the lineup tonight for those Angels.
And listen, Arizona needs to start winning some games, but you can go to the RBI props, as Donnie just alluded to. The reigning National League pennant winners in the D-backs, four games below 500 at this current point. We showed you one of our favorite stinger animations earlier in this third hour.
Yeah.
Here's one you see every day. Before we say farewell and goodbye, it's time to find you with a best bet on this Tuesday. It's time for Bye Bye Bye. You never know. Sometimes they throw in Joe Lisi singing over Bye 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 as well. So, Donnie, you just highlighted a ton of RBI props in downtown Phoenix between the Angels and the D-backs. Any other best bet considerations on this Tuesday?
It's Tuesday. It's FanDuel Sportsbook. It's Stinger Tuesday. So we're going to go to that home run market and again go out to a West Coast team. We love the LAs tonight here, which does include the Los Angeles Dodgers. I'm going to take Shohei Ohtani's 243 ISO and 342 weighted on base percentage against Dane Dunning, who's struggling with left-handed batters. And we'll take Shohei Ohtani to get a home run tonight at a plus 260 price.
Shohei didn't do all that much in the Bronx this weekend in the marquee matchup against the Yanks. I would expect the bat to be hot starting this week back at the Ravine. A team that is not hot, the two-time reigning WNBA champion, the Las Vegas Aces. They've dropped two in a row, and they have not looked great in doing so. I think the Aces bounce back tonight against a good Lynx team in the Michelob Ultra Arena, a tough place to go in and get a win. Las Vegas first half team total over 43.5. He's Donnie. I'm Ben. We'll talk to you tomorrow, 8 a.m. Eastern, live right here on the Early Line.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for the shoppers buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/audioboom, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/audioboom to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/audioboom.
If you're a custodial supervisor at a local high school, you know that cleanliness is key. And that the best place to get cleaning supplies is from Grainger. Grainger helps you stay fully stocked on the products you trust from paper towels and disinfectants to floor scrubbers. Plus, you can rely on Grainger for easy reordering, so you never run out of what you need. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.